Time for the Drive's Top 4 at 4.
Welcome back. Hour number 2 of the Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio, and it's time for your Top 4 at 4. Here once again is Marcus Young.
Thank you, Russell. At number 1, some breaking news that came out today. That LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers have agreed to a 2-year, $97.1 million extension that includes a third-year player option. I know there was obviously...
It was like $48.5 million a year for 2 years of hooping.
Yeah, yeah. That's ridiculous.
The extension, which includes a 15% trade kicker, makes James the highest-earning player in the NBA history with $532 million in guaranteed money. Surpassing Kevin Durant.
Is he washed up? He got another LeBron? Title run in him?
Nah, I don't know.
Well, I think he's going to try to play with his son, isn't he?
Was Bronny?
That the whole thing? Yeah.
When's he going to orchestrate that? Like, assuming Bronny, who I saw either committed or was crystal balled to Oregon.
So, yeah, some people are theorizing that Oregon was like the go-to. And LeBron tweeted out the article and said, this isn't true. Like, no one knows what he knows. You'll find out when he's decided.
So, assuming that Bronny goes somewhere and is good enough to be drafted in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
is LeBron either going to engineer the draft to where he goes to the Lakers, or is he just going to let Bronny go wherever Bronny goes and then force his way onto that team?
Who knows with LeBron?
I think it's option B.
So what if he gets taken by the...
Cleveland.
Yes.
That'd be beautiful.
The Hornets or something. He's going to go live in Charlotte for a couple...
Charlotte's not that bad.
Who's the biggest dumpster fire in the NBA these days? The Knicks.
Yeah, probably the Knicks.
Papa and son going to go and bail out the Knicks?
They could.
Oh, the Nets are right behind them, aren't they?
Wow.
I mean, they were a playoff team.
Trying to think of another, the Thunder maybe.
Going to go live in Portland or, you know, some other
Oklahoma City.
Oklahoma City. Yeah, right. It doesn't. It'll be interesting. I guess we'll
find out.
Stay tuned for that one 3 years or so down the road.
At number 2, other contract news, but in the NFL, Los Angeles Chargers star Derwin James agrees to a $76.4 million deal, becoming the NFL's highest-paid safety. He obviously is an All-Pro safety. Who had some injury issues.
He's out of Florida State, right?
Yes. But he is only 26 years old. He is the key playmaker on that defense. He decided he was going to do a hold in instead of a hold out during his
contract. People doing that now, yeah.
So he's
running back
going there.
From Cleveland did that.
Yeah.
He's going to camp. But he's not happy about it.
Past 3 weeks, he missed 14 practices as his contract negotiations continued. He did participate in the team walkthroughs and individual agility drills.
He's at the building. He's going to meetings, but he's not practicing, doing anything that could risk injury.
I don't want to get too crazy, but I think the Chargers are going to win that division.
I don't think that's crazy. That's a really good team. They were really good last year.
The pieces that they've added, adding Khalil Mack to that along with Joey Bosa, you've got J.C. Jackson on that defense, and I think Herbert is a really, really good quarterback that is going to make it more difficult for Mahomes to lead that charge. So it's going to be fun to watch, though. At number 3, Deshaun Watson, his suspension is being negotiated between the NFL and the NFLPA, potentially figuring out the whole situation. We're going to find out whether, I believe it is Harvey, trying to find his name. Yeah, Peter Harvey, who is going to be hearing the appeal. But currently, the Players Association wants to have some discussions with the NFL over potential settlement. I don't know if they're going to find like a middle ground.
I mean, that's what it sounds like, yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking, 8 games.
I just want him gone for the year.
I mean, so does Goodell and the league.
I think that's what they want, but I also think they'd like to get this whole mess behind them, man. I mean, this is just every day it's out in the news like this. Here's the thing. If you suspend him for the entire year, he's going to come back next year and it's a big controversy. So you're prolonging this, you know, the die down time. Like you saw when he went out to play at Jacksonville last week and fans are chanting, "You sick bleep," at him. You're going to have women's groups picket or marching outside the stadiums and stuff like that. If you do it 8 games, you get that done this year, and then it's probably done going into next season. If you suspend it for the entire season, it's a talking point for a whole nother year. So, I mean, maybe that's not something they're concerned with. They just want to do what they feel like is the right thing. But, you know, these leagues are always concerned with optics.
And doesn't Cleveland go to Houston near the end of the season too?
I think so.
Do you really want him back in Houston during this whole thing? I'm not sure. I feel like maybe they should really think about it. And finally, number four, bit of a scuffle that happened.
A brouhaha?
A bit of a scuffle.
A Donnybrook?
A little bit.
A melee?
Understatement of the century.
The New England Patriots and the Carolina Panthers, during their joint practice, got into a bit of it, including Christian McCaffrey getting knocked to the ground.
Uh-oh.
Because the words I heard, the article I read, the term that was used was all-out brawl. That doesn't sound like a scuffle.
Have you seen the video?
Yeah. I haven't watched it yet.
It came dangerously close, and it might have not even come close. It might have actually spilled into the stands.
It did. It left a fan actually injured.
Oh, man.
There's a late hit on Christian McCaffrey, which, given his injury issues, consistent issues.
Yeah, why would you even put him
in the situation?
Going live.
He was knocked to the ground by defensive lineman Dietrich Wise Jr.
Is that what sparked it? It's like, hey, you're going after our franchise, dude.
Yeah. Now, how'd you say his name?
Dietrich. Am I wrong?
It's Dietrich.
Whatever. I mean, I've heard it both ways. Anyway, they landed on a fan during the ensuing scrum. McCaffrey responded by spiking the ball at Wise's feet, sparking the fight that carried into the stands. And then apparently Chuba Hubbard was ejected along with Wise.
Chuba Hubbard.
Chuba Hubbard.
The dude from Okie State.
Backup running back.
Chuba. Isn't it Chuba? Maybe it is Chuba.
Chuba?
Yeah.
Once again.
Hubba.
Marcus doesn't care.
Once again, I've heard it both ways. But yeah, they apologized for the incident. The coaches did. Obviously, taking a look at the fan, the woman suffered a swollen foot but refused treatment. And also, the Patriots offered her tickets to the game this season. So, it's nice that they at least tried to make things right. Would you take free tickets from the Patriots, Bear, if they hurt you?
No. I hate the Patriots.
A big D lineman landed on your foot?
No.
You wouldn't take free tickets?
No.
The Vols. If you're going to a practice or something and you're standing there at the sideline, Omari Thomas rolls up on you, they give you free season tickets, you wouldn't?
Yeah, pay me. I don't want your tickets. Cash. Straight cash, homie.
Thank you, Marcus. That is your top four at four. See where Alabama has, I would say legalized, what's the word, approved, I guess, alcohol sales at Bryant-Denny Stadium this year.
I'm sure they have.
Roll down tide.
They want that revenue stream.
I thought everybody had done that by now. Remember what a big deal that was 2 years ago?
It's
beer
Kentucky.
At Neyland Stadium.
Well, I knew it wasn't going to be that big of a deal because
we drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer.
I mean, who the hell is going to go and, you spend $130 on like 10 beers?
I mean, once you're...
It's just so...
10 beers? I wouldn't do that.
I just know how much ballpark still. I know how much that costs wholesale. Like 1,000% markup.
John on Twitter says, no Chris Farley love?
Yeah.
See, that was
feel
hard.
Pretty bad. Tommy Boy.
Black Sheep.
Yeah, Black Sheep's no Tommy Boy. It's pretty
They're
funny.
They're both very, very good.
Tommy Boy's special, though.
I thought it was okay. Unpopular opinion. Tommy Boy, Black Sheep. And maybe it's more David Spade. I just like he never really did it for me. I don't know.
Fat guy in a little coat.
Something very punchable face, David Spade, I always thought.
Yeah.
Even though Joe Dirt was pretty good.
It's not so much here, Russell, is Over Here.
My favorite.
Great movie.
Chris Farley, to me, he's one of those actors, like, when he has the small role, the small recurring gag role.
God, here's ones we didn't even mention.
I mentioned Dirty Work.
Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore.
I would like to amend mine. Dirty Work. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. I'd like to, yeah. I mean, we could have gone 10 on comedies. There's so many good ones. I didn't even think about Sandler.
Brian's top five, Office Space, Wedding Crashers, Life. He says, thanks to D.R. Vall. Thank you, D.R. Vall. Life deserves considerable mention here. Two, The Big Lebowski, and one, Blazing Saddles. I will stand by. Big Lebowski might be on my Mount Rushmore of movies. I don't think it's a comedy. It's funny.
It's got some funny lines.
I don't think it's a comedy.
This is what happens, Larry.
That's hysterical. When you find a stranger in the Alps.
Pretty good, Russ.
That's what they changed it to on TV.
Really?
Yeah. You see the edited for TV version of The Big Lebowski, and Walter's out there.
I wouldn't watch the edited
smashing
version.
The guy's car with the hilarious with the crowbar. This is what happens when you find a stranger in the Alps.
It's so stupid.
I think that's the point.
Yeah. King Ralph was a funny movie with John Goodman.
That's on your list of terrible things that Bear likes.
Oh, here's one for Raising Arizona.
See, I mentioned that earlier. To me, that it's the same thing as Big Lebowski. It's funny, but not a comedy. Maybe it is a comedy. I don't know.
You tell him he can find me, Ed.
Boy, you got a panty on your head.
I'm probably the only one here that could do a top five Nicolas Cage list. I've seen way too many of his movies.
Oh, he's been in just about everything.
Dude, you couldn't. You get out of here.
Just give me your favorite. Raising Arizona is hard to beat for a Nicolas Cage movie. Face Off is very good. I mean, his portrayal of Castor Troy, one of the great.
See, it's also
performances.
Oh man, it's tough, man, because you got Con Air up there too.
That's not a comedy.
I'm not saying comedy. I'm saying just top five Nicolas Cage movies. Con Air is really good. You've also got one of his recent movies I actually really liked called Pig. It was a little bit more of a serious movie. It was actually really good. National Treasure is pretty great.
Isn't he
There's a movie
related
called
to Francis Coppola?
Yeah, he's his nephew.
Yeah.
His Mandy's real name is really Nicholas Coppola.
If you want to
Really?
Yeah. He's a Coppola.
Did he change his name just because he didn't want to get by on name alone? He wanted to do it himself. I guess he did.
Tiger Shire's his aunt.
The gal from Godfather?
Yeah, that's Francis Ford Coppola's little sister. Do you not know that?
I think I did.
Yeah, from Rocky too. She played Adrian.
Oh yeah.
We've talked about it's in that fight scene like where James Caan beats Sonny beats his brother-in-law. If you go back and I've gone back and watched it and seen it now, like he screwed him up, man. He kicked his ass for real.
Jay giving a vote for Bad Grandpa. You seen that?
Nah.
No?
Uh-uh.
Oh, that movie's hysterical. That movie is hilarious. Bad Grandpa with Johnny Knoxville?
Yeah. It was...
When he blasts all over the wall of that restaurant. Oh, my God.
Have you seen this pile of crap?
I had a teacher back in high school that was a teacher for Johnny Knoxville.
Really? Some claim to fame, Marcus. Brian says, heck, please talk all the movie talk you want. Three and Out this morning had a segment where Kress and Hickman said they would make out if we win 12 games or more.
Huh?
Yeah, I heard something about that on Twitter. And I got really confused because I missed Three and Out this morning. But all over Twitter, they were talking about something got brought up by a kissing booth or something. I was like, what is going on this morning?
Weirdness, it sounds like.
Yeah. The season can't get here soon enough. No. Evidently, the Three and Out guys are
talking about making out.
So we're rooting for an 11-1 season then?
Rooting for 12-0. Hold them to it.
Gay play on the morning show. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
Phil is next. Good afternoon, Phil. You're on the drive. It's Fan Run Radio.
What's up, Debbie?
What's up, Philly?
How you bearing, Marcus doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Did Marcus get on time today?
I mean, as on time as he ever is.
I was thinking my dog.
Did you get blown away last night, Marcus?
The only time I drink is on the weekends.
There you go. He's a responsible alcoholic, Phil. Not like you, knuckleheads.
I'm part-time.
Well, I'm not drinking today.
But, that's good.
It's can't do it every day.
Exactly. We gotta be smart.
I'm glad for 2 weeks football season, y'all talk about movies. It's pretty cool, you know.
Leaving Las Vegas, great Nicolas Cage movie, speaking of alcoholism.
Well, I mean, what do you want to talk about, Phil?
Pittsburgh is, huh?
I mean, we keep talking about Florida and Pittsburgh.
Well,
I feel like we've covered it pretty well.
Well, we got more weeks until those games get here. It's getting closer and closer, ain't it? It's hard to believe 2 weeks from tomorrow, and we got football.
The Ball State will be a nice tune-up, and I'm not. Hey, man, you guys call me crazy. After Georgia State, I'm not overlooking anything, man. I will take that game seriously until it's over.
Because we didn't play good in the first game last year. Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, we kind of farted around with Bowling Green for a while, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yep.
I say the reason why they were talking about making out this morning was because of Westchester got the show on a good course like he did on your show yesterday. It's he couldn't be my favorite caller on talk radio now.
Westchester and Phil, I mean, can you imagine like sharing a couple of beverages during a Tennessee loss to Alabama with those two? I mean, you'd be headed for the Gay Street Bridge.
Well, it'd be over by halftime, though, you know.
Wasn't last year.
It's true, Phil.
Yeah, well, one time in 15 years.
I mean, Dobbs hung around with them down there that one year.
Should have beat him that year. Butch would probably still be here if he had.
Yeah, that's what they could have won. And then the Cody blocking the field goal thing, that's a game we probably should have won.
Yeah.
But, we've had our chances. You got to take advantage of it when you get one because there's few and far between when you play Alabama now.
You think Tennessee plays with them at home this year, Phil?
I don't know. We just got to see what we really got because I don't know. I mean, I hope the defense is improved. If the defense improved, we got a chance of having a good year. If not, it'll be the same old thing and we'll get a few injuries and, you know.
You always watch that Oklahoma State game, and it's like 52-48, and whoever has the ball last kind of wins kind of thing. I just think if Tennessee's going to win those big games, that's probably what it's going to look like. And, you know, I don't know if it's fair to expect that this year, but I just don't know if the way this guy wants to play offense, if he's going to go fast all the time, his defense is going to struggle, and maybe he's just okay with that. But I think that you're going to have to be able to win shootouts if you're going to insist on playing this style.
That's why you got to have Brew McCoy. What's the holdup? I mean, if Powell can go in basketball to three different schools in 3 years, why can't McCoy?
That's what I'm saying, Phil. That's what I'm saying. I mean, it just feels like we're at a place in – America right now with college sports where it's all about empowering the athlete, the student to transfer just like any other student in this country without penalty and holding anybody's career hostage at this point seems pointless to me.
Have y'all been hearing the stuff I saw on Wild Nation a little while ago about they've overextended their student housing they're going to put them in the Holiday Inn on paper mill because they don't have enough dorm room over there. And then they've overextended themselves on parking passes. They've sold more than they have room for.
I would have loved to have lived in a hotel room instead of the dorm room when I was
in
school.
Air conditioning. What dorm? You lived in Carrick, didn't you?
Reese.
Did y'all have air conditioning?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like things just getting back like it always is on the hill. Confusion. And, I can't wait to see all that digital stuff happens in that game. I'll be watching on TV and laughing.
All that what?
digital ticket bullcrap.
Oh. You never used a digital ticket, Philly?
Hell no, never will.
Oh, it's the wave of the future. You're going to love it. You got a phone, right? You got we hooked you up.
Yeah, I got a phone.
You got a smartphone or you still got the flip phone?
I got a smartphone. Okay. But I'm not going to, you know.
Oh, it's easy. It's simple. We'll coach you up.
Gives away too many of your secrets. You know what I mean?
You think Dr. Dan is downloading all our browsing habits when we check into the game with our phones this year?
There's a country of 2 billion people that might be. See you.
Phil does not trust the electronic ticket scanners at sporting events. Very on brand for the mayor of South Knoxville.
I think it's like $50 extra, and you can get the paper. I don't know if you can get like the actual.
Oh, can you really?
Old school paper tickets, but you can get like a paper version of it, I think.
I'm just so far. I mean, it's in some ways admirable that Phil is still clinging to his privacy, because I gave up that battle like 5 years ago. I remember when it was awkward at first. It's like, man, what, my TV's listening to me now and everything? But at a certain point, it's just like, man, they got me, man. They got my internet. They got my laptop. They got my phone. They got my AirPods.
Oh, it's insane. You didn't have to search for anything. I'm serious. I swear to God, the day after I got diagnosed, I'd never searched anything on my phone regarding cancer, anything, and immediately, and it's still going on to this day, I'll show you guys. My Facebook feed and my Twitter feed are filled with ads for, what's it, Optiva and like all those new cancer drugs, and it's everything about cancer. That, and then there's a couple other
That says options. A lot about our healthcare system. It's marketing towards, hey, buy this stuff, please. Cancer guy?
Yeah, but I never looked it up, and that's when it finally hit, like, absolutely home. That damn phone was listening. The doctor talked to me in the emergency room. Just sitting there and heard, you know. It was kind of disturbing, to tell you the truth.
You have no issues with this at all, do you, Marcus? I mean, you're 27. Your generation is just completely surrendered any sense of privacy to the almighty cloud.
I like some privacy. You know, I'm a couple years away from 30, and if I had the choice, if Danny White were to put out a poll that might get hacked by Russian bots and say, would you prefer paperless or getting those actual ticket stubs? I'd choose the stubs. Wow.
That's why I can't do Facebook. First of all, it's just toxic. But,
yeah.
Like, I'm a pretty frugal guy. So I can find something online that I want, but just tell myself, I don't need that. But if I see, like, a nice pair of shoes or something, I'm like, you know what? I would like to have those. Those would look pretty nice
you
on me.
You can buy shoes online? Do you?
Actually, I don't, but I would. I could. I mean, I know what size I wear. But I'll see them, and I'll be like, you know what? You don't need that, Russell. You got plenty of shoes. Like, just stop. But once I've seen it, I go to Facebook right now, and it's just going to be like every pair of shoes or car or is it something that I've looked up. Buy me. Buy me. Buy me.
Yeah.
According to Rachel on Twitter, in your privacy settings, you can turn off the voice listening feature that targets ads to you according to ambient conversation and noise that your phone microphone picks up.
Ugh.
Thanks, Rach.
That's scary that you even have to do that. I mean, it's one of those things.
So that thing was just it was in one of those
agreements that you just click on that nobody reads.
Yeah.
You just signed that away voluntarily.
Yeah. I'm going to check that out.
Shady,
privacy.
Man. That's shady.
Check out my privacy settings here.
Quick break. The drive continues. Lines available right now. You want to jump in, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on the Big Orange Philly phone lines, 546-8200. Back with more right after this. I I'll tell you the other thing that's frustrating about the phones. I know we're almost on the porch, but I got to get to the docket. So you do the thing like I do where I'll go to Twitter looking for something specific, like something I saw earlier, but then I'll see there's a notification, and I'll go check that real quick.
Right.
And the next thing I know, I'm scrolling through the notifications. I've completely forgot what the hell it is I came to Twitter in the first place to do.
What'd you get a Twitter for?
To find, I don't know. To find something that I tweeted about last night that pertains to the docket story I'm about to read right now. And the next thing I know, I see people sending me funny Brokeback Mountain GIFs of Kress and Hickman, and I've just completely lost track of what it was I was doing in the first place.
Okay.
This is where you say something. Okay. The docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer. The Car Wreck Pro attorneys Patrick Reed filed a lawsuit against the Golf Channel commentator Brandel Chamblee yesterday, claiming the two conspired with the PGA Tour to defame him. And check this out. Reed seeking more than $750 million in damages. Does Brandel Chamblee have $750 million?
No, and this is like one of the dumbest lawsuits ever filed. It's going to get laughed out of court.
He's being represented by Larry Klayman, a controversial former prosecutor who's filed a number of notable failed lawsuits in the past. Reed won 9 times on the PGA Tour in his career, including at the Masters back in 2018. He's also played on 3 Ryder Cups, President Cup teams, competed in the Olympics twice. I love the level of petty in this lawsuit. Check this out. Point number 13. In this regard, defendant Chamblee, a former professional golfer who fell far short of ever rising to the accomplished level of Mr. Reed and the current analyst for Golf Channel, has become Golf Channel's primary mouthpiece and agent to push this defamatory agenda and inflict severe damage to Mr. Reed, LIV, and other golfers signed with LIV.
Reed was.
It's very, very failed golfer. Not nearly as good as I was. Total loser.
A lot of people are saying.
So.
Yeah, he's not a very nice guy, Patrick Reed.
Evidently not. No, I mean, people always said that. Like, even back when he won the Masters, people said that.
Well, yeah, remember he was at Georgia. And then did he get in trouble at Georgia?
Something like that, yeah. That's rings a bell.
Georgia State, maybe, and won the national championship there. And then he had the girlfriend or something, and he completely cut his family off. I think she was like
He went full Aaron Rodgers.
She was like a lot older than him, and obviously his mom and dad had some. Talking like she was like our age.
I'm just saying, like, you're gonna sue somebody like, and Brandel Chamblee has been. Probably like the biggest critic or the most vociferous critic in the golf world of the LIV Tour. Like, he's really hammering it.
Yeah.
But even if you thought that it was a defamation suit, you file something realistic. It's like, I want $1 million. Something that you could actually get.
On the realistic part, you got to find something that's, you know, a lawsuit that's based on facts. I mean, he didn't defame him. If you read through it all, he gave his opinion. He didn't say it was facts. And he's going to get laughed out of court, man. What a doofus. Expect from a Georgia boy.
Meanwhile, legendary hockey star Wayne Gretzky has been served a massive lawsuit. Former L.A. Kings player and his wife, Janet Jones Gretzky, are being sued for multi-millions after promoting a weight loss gum. Couple have been promoting a weight loss gum called Overeating Management Gum, a.k.a. OMG. Isn't that so cute?
Honestly, I don't know if it's just, I mean, when I chew gum, I don't really feel that hungry anyway, so why not just get regular gum?
Well, that's probably the point. It's probably billed as, like, this is one of those things that'll control cravings. Just chew this gum instead of eating, lose weight. Court documents filed Monday, the plaintiff, Stephen Sparks, claimed that the couple told a lie about the product, which caused him to lose millions of dollars. He's suing both Gretzky and his wife for fraud and negligent misrepresentation. Sparks alleges that he hired Gretzky's wife, Janet, to promote the gum he says he created. His lawsuit states that the NHL legend falsely claimed he lost 35 pounds after just 2 months of chowing down on the gum.
Huh.
That's the key, Bear. You guys carrying some extra weight? You want to drop 35 pounds in 2 months? Just get yourself some of that gum. Weight will melt right off.
I don't think Janet Gretzky would do anything bad like that.
Based on what?
Have you seen her back in the day?
So you think because she's hot, she wouldn't lie?
Sure.
I have no idea whether it's a good... I mean, it sounds like a fraudulent product, but I can't prove that. I don't know, but I'm not going to take her at her word just because she's hot. What are you, some kind of simp? Did I use that word correctly, Marcus?
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, yeah, Janet. Yeah, this is good gum. Losing the weight right away. Good stuff, Janet. Oh, this is so good.
They're attacking Janet Gretzky.
Will you go out with me this weekend, Janet, please? I'll eat all your gum.
No? Okay, that's okay.
No, that's fine.
next time.
Yeah, I've got something to do anyway. I'll call you next week. All right. That is the docket brought to you by Fox and Farmer. The Car Wreck Pro attorneys who remind you if you end up injured in a traffic accident and you need legal representation, give Fox and Farmer a call. They've got over 100 years of combined experience serving East Tennesseans just like you. And you're going to love it because at Fox and Farmer, they don't get paid unless you get paid. So what do you have to lose? Give them a call today, 865-531-9400, to set up that free, no obligation consultation with the Car Wreck Pro attorneys. Fox and Farmer. They're online at foxandfarmer.com. Again, that number, 865-531-9400, online at foxandfarmer.com. Well, the self-immolation of Kentucky athletics to me has been the feel-good hit of the summer. And we have another chapter. This Stoops guy, man. This guy.
What's he done now?
Well, SEC Media Days took place nearly a month ago, but SEC Network, you know, they do all these interviews with coaches and everything, and so that they, like, store up the content and they release it slowly. So we're still getting content that was recorded at SEC Media Days a month ago, and they just posted a clip at SEC Network of Mark Stoops talking about how he's changed the culture of Kentucky football. And he says, I've talked years ago about climate versus culture. Such coach nonsense, gibberish. Climate versus culture. What are you talking about, dude? It's easy to change climate. You just change a uniform, talk a little game, dance around, put on some stupid sunglasses. You can change a climate, but to change a culture is at the core. I'm quite certain we've changed our culture. Now, that stupid sunglasses comment, this interview evidently was recorded the day after that Shane Beamer video went viral. Remember, Beamer is like dancing to some hip-hop song. He's put on the glasses and the players are behind him and that thing.
Yeah, I remember breaking it down piece by piece.
So, perceived taking a shot at Shane Beamer there. I mean, this guy, he's letting the chopper spray. He's going after Beamer. He's going after Calipari. This guy wants his respect. Seems a little bit needy to me, just saying.
Yeah, he's got some issues. Definitely got some issues. I mean, but I don't really care for Shane Beamer, so
yeah,
have at
you're
it.
Here for it.
Yeah.
It makes me appreciate Heupel's approach because
no drama.
Just no drama, no flamboyance at all off the field. And if he tried to, if Josh Heupel tried to do one of those videos like Beamer did, it would come off. I mean, Beamer's came off pretty cheesy, I think, to anybody who's not a South Carolina fan. If Heupel did it, it would come off as cheesy, I think, even to Tennessee fans, because we know that's not his personality.
No. I couldn't see him ever agreeing to it. He just seems like he's, to me, he looks like he's a pretty shy kind of dude for a head football coach in the SEC.
And maybe for a school that we've had the, you know, super insecure coaches, Jeremy Pruitt lecturing the fans about attending the orange and white game.
Botch.
But, you know, Butch Jones, yeah, trying to design the first down cheer and everything else that knucklehead did. Derek Dooley going crazy on people over the way the trash cans are set up in the facility and everything. Maybe having a guy who is just about his business is, you know, I don't know that it translates to wins or anything, but for too long we've been the fan base that bumps its gums, talks all this trash, and then when we get our pants pulled down, people just revel in shoving it back in our faces. Yeah. Because we've been obnoxious, the coaches have been obnoxious, and like all that stuff. And with this guy, hey, man, he might get his pants pulled down, but there's nobody who's sitting around going, Josh Heupel had it coming.
Yeah.
Ever since he did fill in the blank, yeah, I've been against that guy, and I've been waiting for this for a long, long time.
Yeah, it's kind of switched over to our but they usually back it up, our baseball team. They talk the talk, but
yeah,
they walk the walk.
Yeah, but when they don't,
woo,
yeah,
can be bad.
Yep.
The closest thing I can think of would have been like during year one when the whole Halloween kind of like all dressed up. Because I remember Heupel being in that like the Batman.
But that was fun when he was at Oklahoma.
I thought that was with us, was it not? Am I crazy?
No, that picture of Heupel in the Batman uniform was when he was at Oklahoma. Or maybe Missouri. It wasn't when he was here. I'm pretty sure it was an Oklahoma thing.
I actually thought that was pretty cool.
It's a terrible costume.
Yeah, but it was old school costume. It was the Adam West costume.
I'm gonna look
at this. Like him even more.
You think he's going to dress up for Halloween this year?
I hope not.
Doesn't seem like his style, does it?
No.
How about Trey's interview with Kiffin? That thing's getting a lot of pub.
Yeah.
They felt like a kicker at like a frat house. Was that part of that interview? Or?
Well, apparently, like, Lane Kiffin opened up his heart to Trey Wallace. Like, spilled his guts.
Was Trey going to be like the new Roy Firestone?
Opened up a vein and, yeah.
People start crying.
Evidently.
I don't care about that.
He told Trey Wallace that they had to kill Joey Freshwater. That it was fun at the time, but it's time for him to grow up and put childish things away.
You think so? You're almost 50, Jeff. Idiot. Hell with him, man. I told you last night in our group.
It's about time.
I'd like nothing more than to give Ben Joyce a full case of Titleist.
You simped harder for Kiffin than you ever would for Janet Gretzky back in the day. Don't think I haven't forgotten. I'll take him back tomorrow, Russ. He's the crazy ex-girlfriend you just can't forget. I'd take him back tomorrow.
You do have to admit, could you imagine him with Tennessee's NIL?
I'd let him burn my life down again.
Probably would. I deal last year with the game and just the – I'm over.
When he was in the locker room saying, bleep Tennessee, bleep Tennessee, bleep Tennessee. That was finally – that's what it took for you to realize this guy doesn't really like you?
No, the fainting,
The game itself.
Yeah, the fake cramps, the fainting.
I feel like I vaguely remember when we were initially looking for a coach.
Oh,
hearing you guys talk about the whole thing, and Bear was very much against the Lane train. Were you against the Lane train?
I mean, he's switched sides of the fence so much it's hard to really tell, but I remember distinctly him advocating for bringing Kiffin back at one point.
Yeah.
Yeah. He ain't denying that.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what show you were listening to. It wasn't me. Yeah.
Stay with us. The Drive continues. More of your phone calls coming up. All right, back here on The Drive, it's Fan Run Radio. We go back to the Big Orange Phillies phone lines. Roger and then Haji. Raj and Hodge to close out hour number two of the show. What's up, Roger? Try that again. What's up, Roger?
Yeah. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. Russ, I just want to mention, I just want to ask you about a few movies. You you ready for them?
Okay, yeah, I love it, Raj. What you got?
If you like it, if you haven't heard of it, watch it or not. Have you watched Dumb and Dumber or any? The Dumb and Dumber?
Dumb and Dumber's classic. You like Dumb and Dumber?
Yeah, I like it. I watched it a long time, but I like it. It's funny, I think. And also, have you ever watched Offit's comedy? Space Jam.
Oh, Space Jam.
What's that?
You know what? I've never actually seen Space Jam, Raj. Can you believe that?
I watched it back when I was working at a group home in the 90s with some kids, and we took them to see it, but I think I fell asleep about halfway through it, honestly.
The Monstars. I mean, I kind of have a general idea.
That's right in Roger's wheelhouse. So, I mean, when that come out, like, how old were you, Roger? Like 8 or 9?
It was during his baseball era.
Yeah, Roger's like 9 years old. I could see how that would you know, you're 9 years old. Space Jam's it. That's a big deal.
Even Michael Jordan was in that one too.
But you like Dumb and Dumber, huh?
Yeah, I like it. It's funny. But yeah, it's funny. Russell, have you seen the part that there was a girl that got on a big bus, and he asked them, you want to come with us to somewhere? And they said, no.
The bikini bus.
After Denver, and after he said no, he went, he thought about it again. He went back to me and said, I know the couple guys that would, and then that happened, they kind of, both of them.
It was the Hawaiian Tropic bikini team.
Yeah.
I mean, you.
It's funny.
Raj, you would have gotten on that bus, right? You would have helped those ladies out.
No.
I don't know.
I don't know.
So would y'all done that?
Get on the bus with the Hawaiian Tropic bikini team? You out of your mind? Hell yeah, we would have. We'd have driven them from Maine to California, my man.
How about you, Russell? Would you done it?
Don't lie.
When I was single, oh yeah, sure, I would have taken that ride. If you catch my drift.
Okay. Can I just say hi for me?
We'll tell him hi for you. Thanks, Raj. Good to hear from you, buddy. Roger.
Roger. Dumb and Dumber.
I love it.
What's your favorite scene in that movie?
Oh man, there's so many good
Turbo
ones.
Lax.
That's pretty good. There's some good songs in that one, too. If You Don't Love Me, I'll Kill Myself.
That is.
Was that Pete Droge?
I do not know.
A couple of good tunes. It was a good soundtrack, as I recall. The Laws, There She Goes was in that one, I think.
That scene, one of the funniest things is where they eat the hot, right before they kill the guy accidentally, with the hot peppers. They're eating all that hot stuff. There's something about it. I mean, I'm getting ready to laugh just picturing it when they... He slams the squeeze bottles like ketchup mustard down.
He's trying to catch it in his mouth.
He just starts squirting it up in the air. That's sea bass is in that too, right? Yep. Kick his ass, sea bass.
What's the soup du jour? It's the soup of the day. That sounds good. I'll have that.
I still like most obnoxious sound ever.
Haji is next. What's up, Haj?
I listen to the most annoying sound in the world every day. Russ knows it's pretty brutal over here. But, and that reminds me, Bear, I want to talk to you about your group home days. But that's when I thought you couldn't be any dumber.
Totally redeem yourself.
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's probably as good a line as in that movie. That's one of the few that I'll stop every time and watch it, the rest of it, if I come across it. My buddy Scott Perkins, the pro at Willow Creek, every Tennessee basketball and football game that we, when we're behind, basically, which is a lot, obviously, we just text each other Germans now. It's just got to the point where we don't have to bother with the was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? We just do Germans.
And you guys have a short, yeah, you have your own language you're working on there, huh?
Well, it's like you. I mean, that's the line of any movie that I use most often. It's always that. I'm appalled, just like you are, that everybody goes, that was not the Germans that bombed Pearl Harbor.
Yeah. Oh, every time. Every time, I'm like, yeah, what do you think I am, some kind of moron? No, you're the moron. But you can't explain it to everybody because – so you just kind of have to
– it takes the fun out of it.
It's so frustrating, yeah. Just let them think I'm a dumbass.
You can't talk about Nick Cage and comedies in the same breath and not mention, you know what, right?
Blanking.
Phoebe Cates, Mr. Hand – Fast Times at Ridgemont High. It's not a huge Nick Cage role, but...
Yeah, he was with Eric Stoltz. He was one of
really?
Spicoli's buddies.
It's been forever since I... Oh, yeah, he was.
No shirt, no shoes, no dice.
He's the one watching her get out of the pool, and you know what he's doing.
That's not Nicolas Cage.
That was Judge Reinhold.
That was Judge Reinhold.
Oh, that is... You're right. That's right. But he worked at the restaurant.
Doesn't anybody knock anymore?
He was the brother, right. That's right. You're right. That's right. Okay. All right. I'll give you. I can't put them in order. They've all been named, I guess. Except, you know what? Here's one that's underrated that hadn't been named. A Farrelly Brothers movie. The first time I saw it, I was like, "Yeah." And then the second time, I thought it was fantastic. And Vanessa Angel, by the way, still looks exactly the way she did.
Really?
In Kingpin.
Oh, exactly. Kingpin. That's a good one. You got Munson'd.
That's right.
Was Vanessa Angel in Spies Like Us?
No, that would be before her time, I believe. Doctor.
Farrelly Brothers, pretty solid. Coen Brothers, pretty solid, but I, unlike you, they're probably not comedies, but they're funny. Oh, Brother, Where Art Thou? Pretty solid.
Yes, quirky.
You want to facilitate a bet for me with Westchester?
Yeah, please. Westchester's call yesterday has gone down evidently as one of the most negative I don't want to come off on it, but it was kind of a dumb call. I mean, let's just call it what it was. What's your bet? You want to make a wager with Westchester. What is your wager?
I'll give you two of them. He can take either one or all or whatever, but the first one is he can take six or less, and I'll take eight or more, and if it lands on seven, it's a wash. Okay, I'll take eight wins or more. He said we're going to be 6-6, right?
Okay.
The other one would be Tennessee and Arkansas and Ole Miss and Kentucky are all the win total at 7.5 on FanDuel. And I will say that Tennessee will win more than all three of those teams.
Arkansas, Ole Miss, and Kentucky.
Kentucky, yeah. He can have 3-1 on me, and I'll still take even money odds on that.
Kentucky's schedule is just so much easier. And Arkansas has the hardest schedule.
Yeah.
Go and look at that. All right.
I'll go ahead and tell you real quick before we get out of here with you, Haji. Vanessa Angel absolutely was in Spies Like Us. That was her first role, and she played one of the Soviet rocket people.
Okay.
Let's go back and look at that.
The one that ended up with Chevy Chase.
I need to go look at the film.
One of her greatest roles ever.
I can still see her leg on the ball return machine, though, when they were trying to. She said hand some, not hand less.
Haji, we got to run, man. We will pass your.
Let me know what Westchester has to say about that.
All right, he can
pick the what the stakes are. All right,
Westchester, I know you're listening. The gauntlet has been thrown down this afternoon.
Indeed, it has.
John Haji calling out Westchester. Stay with us. Hour number three of The Drive coming up. Marcus has you top five at five when we continue next right here on Fan Run Radio.